April 13th, 2020. And at this point, I'd like to call the meeting to order. And Fawn, can you please take the roll, please?
Certainly. Mary Worrow.
Here.
Albert Bruno.
Here.
Peter Criswell.
Virtually here.
Laura Petit.
Laura's on mute.
I see, Laura.
Okay. Oh, is that better?
There we go.
Okay. Thank you. I'm here.
You have five present, zero absent, so you have a quorum.
Okay. And with that, you know, I'm sure we have a flag somewhere in our house, but I think it's especially appropriate to continue to recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
Hang on.
Oh, wonderful.
There you go. That one behind me.
So I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic
one nation,
indivisible, with liberty
and justice for all.
Thank you. And I think we have a little bit of a delay, and I'm sorry about that, but we'll get through this. And I want to ask if people have had a chance to read the minutes of the last meeting. And if not, I'm willing to put it off because, you know, it's been a very crazy month, but I see some nods.
Yeah, I wrote.
All right, so I would ask for a motion to approve the minutes of, I'm trying to look at two things at once here. Second. Why don't you put that in your motion if you would, Peter? I thought I saw you.
I'll make a motion of approval.
Oh, okay.
I'll second that.
All right. Motion by Legislator Bruno and seconded by Legislator Criswell. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Now I had the agenda pulled up, but I'm on two different phones here. So I know we. Well, the next thing, I'll be looking for this while I, thank you. Shared screen, cool beans. I'd like to ask Tim Rose from the UCRA to please give an update. I think there is some news, if rumor has it, Tim.
What's that? What are you referring to, Mina?
Did you get some comments back from DEC?
Oh, yeah, very minor. Actually, there were more questions than there were comments. So the board looked at them. There really wasn't anything controversial, just more questions, more clarification type of stuff. And so the board looked at it. They didn't have anything to add or delete, and so it was sent off to DEC. So again, they were just clarifications. They've been involved in the process all along, which is a good thing. And there wasn't any major comments. So we sent it back to DEC today, and hopefully they'll turn it around quickly. And then the board can officially accept it and send that to the legislature.
Okay, and there's been a parallel process to create a zero waste plan. And are you guys okay with hearing me? Because sometimes my phone is funny. Okay, good.
Or even after I sit in my office for a while. No. And I was having to crunch them again.
I'm going to, I'd be able to hear better if I use my picture and I move my phone. I'm hearing impaired and I'm using two devices for this, so bear with me, please.
Tim, there was a training that some of us took, including Legislator Petit and myself, and some of the staff and the board of the agency, and a couple other people. We started to put together an outline for a zero waste plan, and then the coronavirus pandemic spread, and I think it put everybody into, it disrupted the pattern. But I also know that the Recycling Oversight Committee is working on a zero action plan, and I just want to be sure that as we move forward, and that came out of a resolution that we passed for zero waste policy, but I want to be sure that those efforts are coordinated and well underway as we move forward. We had to give everyone a little chance to adjust to a new lifestyle and new technology. But Legislator Petit, would you like to add to my comments while we have Tim Rose here?
Sure. And can you hear me okay? Because my screen's doing all kinds of crazy things. But anyway, I had several years ago, a group of us wrote a zero waste action plan for New Paltz. And of course, a large portion of that was written with input from the public. So what we've done is we've taken essentially the solid waste components materials part, which I believe is section 3 of the draft 2020 solid waste management plan, and it's getting broken down into several components. So we're looking at writing a standalone zero waste document. One of our committee members at the Recycling Oversight would like to do a survey just to set benchmarks, but we just don't have the time or the funding or the personnel, the staff to do that. So, we will be moving forward. We'll set a meeting up at some point this month, via Zoom or hopefully the quarantine will be lifted. We can actually get together in a room. I can send out the very draft outline. If anybody who is interested, we would certainly welcome input and ideas. Feel free to write sections of it. So this is going to be a real collaborative effort, and we do need to find a way to include the public in this. I think that's the only way we're going to get a real successful standalone document.
So Tim,
yeah.
I just want to be sure that we're all in communication, the work that the agency is doing, the zero waste planning process that came out of Zero Waste USA, and the work that the Recycling Oversight Committee is doing. If we blend all of that together, I think it's going to be a real model document. So I just wanted to be sure to include that as we're discussing the report.
Okay, now this is standalone though from the solid waste management plan, right?
Yes.
Because if it's part of the solid waste management plan, this puts us back to zero again, because now it's going to go back to DNC for a re-review. And that's going to put us back 6 months. So I just want to make sure that this, what you're talking about, is standalone, because
it's standalone.
The solid waste management.
Right.
Okay.
Completely separate way of handling, each component of the solid waste stream. We certainly wouldn't want to set back the solid waste management plan at all. Did they ever approve the one from 2012?
They gave us comments. It was submitted, in December of 2012. We got it. No, actually, it was earlier than that. It was December of 2011. And we got comments 6 years and 4 months later. And then we decided just to write a whole new plan at that point.
Which they were fine with. And that's the document that has gone to them, and they've submitted comments to the agency. And that's where it stands right now.
Yeah, it's really virtually done. Because it was good because we engaged them in the beginning, so they've been involved all along, so there wasn't any major comments. The plan that was just submitted, it was more clarity type questions. It wasn't anything policy driven. It was more clarity. So I think they should be able to turn this around very quickly, hopefully. Then get to the board. The board can officially adopt it at the next board meeting, which is in April, maybe not April, hopefully at least May. And then the board can send it off to the legislature for ratification, and it's done. We can start working on it.
So, how were the comments and questions? This is later on the agenda. This is a good time to bring it up. The Solid Waste Planning Commission and individuals, but in particular, that commission was created to keep the channels of communication between the agency and the legislature open so that the final document had feedback from the legislature. Now, there were some very specific comments, and maybe at this point it's more clear how those were addressed.
Well, you should have that. That was sent to you, I don't know, 2 months ago, something like that. How the agency addressed
the comments from Cornerstone.
Yeah, and the way the board and Cornerstone addressed the public, we inserted the public comments into the plan, and how we addressed those comments, and that was sent back to the DEC, which you should have a copy of that. And they sent it back with just some clarification questions, and that's what was resubmitted and sent back just today.
Okay.
So you should have the meat of it.
Any other questions for Tim Rose from any of the members of Energy and Environment? I kind of wanted to go through a little bit of that background, particularly for newer members that are just coming on.
Just in general,
I see your hand.
Since we have Tim on the line, I just wanted to ask if he could maybe update us about some of the challenges or successes, just what he's seeing in this environment of quarantine in relation to the agency and solid waste and recycling and the transfer stations, etc.
Sure. As you know, we're considered an essential service. So we all have to be at work. Other than the office staff, really are deemed non-essential because a lot of the office staff can do their work from home. So we have most of the office staff working out of the house. However, all of operations, as you know, is at work. We have to load garbage, so, and we have to process the recycling. There hasn't been any disruptions in service. We have stopped taking e-waste. IDMB has stopped taking in-person contact. So we stopped taking e-waste for the time being. We did put that on our website, and the few that haven't seen our website that do show up, I've gone and talked to them, and everybody's good about it. Everybody understands this is an unprecedented time. So people are just holding on to the TVs in their basement, whatever the case may be. All of our employees, we just spent $700 today and got even more masks. But the employees are wearing masks. Fortunately, the vast majority of our employees don't have person-to-person contact. Even amongst themselves, they're pretty spread out. We have drivers in roll-off trucks that operate by themselves. We have employees and loaders, excavators that are in there by themselves. one group of people who do have contact with the public are the scale house operators because of payment. We stopped taking cash. It's credit card accounts. The vast majority of our revenue stream is done through accounts because they're large haulers. But we did put plexiglass up in front of the window to give some sort of barrier, and they do wear gloves and do wear masks. New Paltz transfer station, every year we always close down for the first quarter of the year. We close down on Saturdays. We don't take any trash in on Saturdays because it's so slow that it wasn't worth keeping open. So as long as I've been director for 10 years, and prior to me, it's always been closed the first quarter of the year. We decided to extend that this year for the first time because of the COVID-19. So we're remaining closed on Saturdays, which has not been an issue at all. Trying to think. Other than that, we had a drill, a practice board meeting today, if you want to call it that, to make sure all the board members were going to be able to have access. Because the board meeting on the 27th is going to be through WebEx. We're going to have a link on our website that the public can log into. And I think for public comment, what we're planning on doing, and we've actually got this in Red Hook School District for their public comment. They're asking for public comment to be submitted ahead of time, and then they read it aloud, which seems to be a good way to go. So we discussed it today in our practice board. We came up with a fake agenda and a fake resolution just to make sure everybody can see it and is familiar with it. And we worked out some kinks today, so I think we're ready for the regular board meeting. But I think that's how we're going to hold public comment, just have people submit through the email. I think that's pretty much it. Anybody have any questions for me?
Can I just ask a follow-up, Tim? Are you, in terms of volume, are you seeing about the same volume as historical, or how is that looking?
Volume isn't it's up a little bit. What is interesting is the transactions have gone up. So in this environment where the business is closed down, that's a big part of the waste stream. So the business is closed down, that's a lot of volume that you would lose. But everybody's home, so the residential volume went up. And what I'm surmising from this, the number of transactions that are coming across the scale have increased, which means that's a lot of small loads. So I think what's happening is people are home from work and they're cleaning out their basements, honestly. So, or cleaning out their garages or whatever they're doing, cleaning up around the house. But yeah, we've lost some commercial, but we've increased in residential.
Any change in recycling?
I haven't noticed a change in recycling. No. Not yet, anyway. But there might be a little bit of a lag. Because with the recycling, the vast majority of our recycling, well, nearly all of it, comes from the towns and the city of Kingston, too. But, you know, towns, depending what town we're talking about, you know, let's say a commingled container, mailing it picked up once a month. Some towns are more often, some towns might be every week or every couple weeks. But I haven't noticed that big of a difference in recycling right now. I can imagine it's probably because so much of it is residential that I would expect the recycling to go up just because people are home.
One thing I'm noticing is how much, you know, with the resilience program that the county executive has created and, you know, the voluntary actions on the part of restaurants and so forth. For those meals that are being delivered to people, it looks to me like collectively that's a lot of clamshells and pie tins, you know, aluminum pie tin. So I don't know that they'll ever make it into the recycling stream, but I think it is going to impact the waste stream as long as we're caught in this pandemic. So
I can tell you over the past couple of weeks, we did notice our food waste drop in volume because the restaurants are closed and the schools.
Yeah.
So that we did notice for our composting program. I will tell you something interesting. Delaware County has a MERV, and I received an email because I'm on a statewide association, and Sue McIntyre is part of that. So she sent an email out. There was emails going back and forth about what we're doing in each one of our respective facilities in regard to COVID-19 and employees and so forth. Delaware County took the stance that they closed down their MRF because because so little is known about the COVID-19 and the transmission that they're afraid of handling the plastics and doing the sorting with the employees. So they're not running their MRF right now. They're going to hold on to it as long as they can, and then I guess once they reach capacity, they can no longer take any more recycling. They're probably just going to divert it to the waste stream.
If I could just add to that, you know, at a town level, and I spoke to a couple of the other towns to see if they were keeping the same hours, et cetera, we're worried about the quality. We are not picking through the material to make sure that you get the best quality like we were. You know, and folks are still throwing everything in. I had a email battle back and forth with somebody who insists that, you know, the folks at the transfer station take out the toothbrushes and the Starbucks cups, etc., which, you know, at some point we're just going to start charging them for it. The redemption centers have been closed, so we're not pulling out, and we stopped anyway because, you know, again, we're uncertain about how it's passed along and we don't want to expose ourselves any more than we have to. The other thing is the scrap metal yards are closed. So are you stockpiling your scrap metal?
Yeah, well, actually, we're going to... I went up to Sims in the Port of Albany. Mm-hmm. They're open, and they're accepting metal. We just got two brand-new dump trailers. Believe it or not, we ordered months ago. Not expecting this, of course, but now just from what so happens that it looks like we're probably going to start self-hauling our scrap metal up to the Port of Albany.
Do you charge for your scrap?
Well, if it comes in, yeah, it's charged just as regular garbage, and we pull it out.
Right.
We're not in the scrap business. We're not in the scrap metal business. So we don't, it's not somewhere where we do, you know, we don't put it off to the side someplace. And it comes in, most of the time it comes in like in house cleanouts or whatever, the first states, you know, that sort of thing. And they dump it on the floor. They're getting rid of it. They don't want it. And then my guys will pull it out. We'll divert it from the waste stream, and then we hold on to it. So that's the only way we really get scrap. I think the towns probably get a lot more scrap than we do.
We do. But as a last resort, I mean, we're getting pretty full. And, you know, West Kingston's told us that we could pack down the container, but we're going to get to the point where we really can't. So we may have to start a scrap metal pile, but I was kind of hoping we could send them along. But folks won't want to pay for it.
Right. Olive, I mean, on a personal note, I use the town of Olive transfer station because I live in Boyceville.
Mm-hmm.
And the town of Olive has a scrap pile. By the way, speaking of which, you know, the town of Olive has a punch card system, so you buy a card with 10 punches on it,
mm-hmm.
and it's $5 a bag. And they stopped, because of the in-person contact, they stopped punching the cards. They're just allowing people to come in and bring their garbage in without any charge. Because they don't want their employees exposed. But that was their decision.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. If there are no other questions, I would like to move on to the resolutions. And the resolutions for upcoming April session start with Resolution number 94, opposing, and this has been on our docket for a while, opposing a new power plant facility at the former Danskammer Energy site in Newburgh. And I see Legislator Bartels, would you like to start by speaking to this, and we'll see if there are any other questions.
Can I move it to discussion?
Yes, please. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do you need a second? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, good. Okay, sorry.
Did
I just switched to the headset.
Hi, I'll second.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. So,
I have my mute on, sorry.
I do.
circulated the changes, the marked up copy, which I think everyone has and is in the packet. And I basically went back over my notes from the last meeting and tried to incorporate everyone's concerns. So I don't know if everyone's had a chance to read it or if you want to go through it on change by change or how you want to do it, if anyone wants to give feedback.
Tracy, I went through it, and first of all, I want to say thank you for all the hard work you put in it. I know a lot of them, I was putting your thorns in your side, so to speak, about this one, and I apologize, but...
it's better because of it. It's,
you know,
it's what happens with it.
I have to tell you, you did a great job, and I'm really impressed with what you did. It reads, I read it a couple of times over, just as flowing, and I think you did a good job.
Thank you.
I want to second that sentiment. I thought it was very clear. I think it... fleshed out some things that needed to be fleshed out a little bit and gave some specifics, so I think it looks much better too. So thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Now, if there aren't any other specifics, I know that the chair of the legislature has asked that we postpone movement on it, which I spoke to the chair of this committee about, and since it isn't time sensitive, which is my understanding, I'm okay with postponing it, particularly since our May meeting will be coming on quickly, since our April meeting's pushed back a week. But I'm open to that conversation as well.
I personally think it's important to get public feedback on this. It's a huge issue. And one of the reasons we're doing it, I think, is to show the public that we have a stance on this. So to do this kind of not behind closed doors, but without public input, I just think is against the point of why we're doing it. So I agree.
I understand what you're saying, Pete, and I agree with you. However, I'm not sure how your emails have been going, but my email box and my message box have been blowing up ever since the last full session we had. It's been incredible, the public feedback that I've gotten in support of this resolution. And that's why I'll straight up, and I thought it was right here, I'll be a yes on it regardless, because of how I feel personally. But I represent the people in my district. They're all about this for that resolution.
I hear what you're saying, Al, and I'm happy to vote yes on this myself. And I could go either way. If you convince me that we should do this today, right now, I'm happy to do it.
As far as postponing, if Tracy's comfortable with postponing it, and Matt, you're comfortable postponing, if you don't think it's going to be a big impact on it, I'm okay with it.
Let me also, I see Legislator Waro, Petit, raised her hand, and I'd like to hear from Legislator Waro.
I'm trying to get a cool background on like Mary has.
You have are you on an iPad?
Yeah. I can't do it, huh?
Well, you can on an iPad, you can on a regular.
No, but I didn't raise my hand. I'm just playing with the. Oh, there we go.
Mary, you're on mute. I think you have to unmute yourself.
Mary, can you hear us? Bring your cursor. There you go.
There you go. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm okay with the new changes. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
You know, I'm in a tricky situation because, as Legislator Boytel said, we were asked not to. I think Legislator Chairman Donaldson wants us to only act on those things that are time sensitive. Tonight, and you know, just till we get back into a regular pattern, and so you know, it's really up to Legislator Boytel's and the will of the committee. But I, you know, from my perspective, especially when he called me, it was in the middle of all hell had broken loose. Excuse my French, it made sense to me to just pause until everybody got their bearings. So let me just check for the will of Legislator Bartels and the will of the committee.
Can I just say a quick statement? So, Chairman Donaldson did actually call out this and the bed tax issue as two issues that were going to be on hold. So he specifically said these two issues, and that's a public statement. So I think we should take that into consideration.
Legislator Bartels.
You're muted, Tracy.
You're on mute.
I know, I just had to get to it. I think that when we do move this, we're going to have a lot of public comment. And maybe if it isn't time sensitive, which I've been assured that it's not that critically time sensitive, I mean, I would like to weigh in sooner than later, but if we can afford the less than a month, I'd be willing, but I think we have to anticipate that there's going to be a lot of, as Legislator Bruno said, there's going to be a lot of input on this. And there is a lot of support among our communities for this. There's also going to be critics, and we've heard some of them, particularly as it relates to labor for the jobs, which is why we put in the language that speaks to just transition. But, you know, I have mixed feelings about it because I very much do want to be heard on it. And I feel very much like Legislator Bruno, no matter where this shakes out, I'm very clear on where I stand on this. And I thank you all for your input because I really mean it when I say that your criticism helped to make it better and more specific, and more succinct, and more pointed. And that's makes it a better piece of legislation, memorializing though it may be. So if my understanding is correct that we can afford the essentially 3 weeks, I'm okay with it if that's what the committee wants to do, with the understanding that there will be a lot of public input when we do move on it.
I have one other.
If you're going to postpone it, when do you move that?
My question is: does anybody have any information where Orange County is right now as far as the process? Is postponing it really going to make a difference, or is it not going to make a difference? I mean, based on where they are in their process.
I can speak to that, Al. I'm following this pretty closely, and basically, it's an Article 10 process. Is a very slow process, and they went through a stipulation phase and submitted a lot of information, and basically the siting board sent back questions because between the time that information was developed and now, the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act was passed. And that raised some questions because they haven't, you know, the CLCPA doesn't apply retroactively, but this is an active application. So they were asked to answer some additional questions and make some modifications. Given the fact that we're in the midst of a pandemic, that is likely to slow things down even more. And as much as I would like to see us act, I don't think 3 weeks is going to make a lot of difference. And it also gives us a chance to gather more information and get more questions answered, or ask our fellow legislators if they have any questions that remain unanswered so that we can make an informed decision. But in terms of, it's not like there's anywhere near a deadline.
Okay, well, that makes it a little easier than just to postpone.
Okay, was that a motion?
I was just making a comment.
Okay.
What is the feedback from the unions? I mean, you mentioned that that's why the language had been added. do you think we'll get a lot of pushback from them? Because originally they didn't seem supportive of this because they were concerned about union jobs.
I don't know how to silence that. I'm really sorry about the noise in the background. It will stop. I think there will be, but I want to also let you know that there is a keen awareness, especially amongst the laborers' union, that a just transition needs to occur. That is, they need to prepare their workers for jobs that are more like what happened with GlidePath in town of Ulster, where they switched from a peaker plant to a battery storage facility. Battery storage facilities don't require a lot of people, but installing the infrastructure, the solar or other renewable energy infrastructure, and also installing the storage infrastructure is work for laborers, and in some cases that's going to require some retraining. I also know that IBEW has taken the lead and years ago started to train their electricians, but the laborers union is in communication with Workforce Development Institute, and in the not too distant future there's going to be a webinar or a forum featuring some really good examples. I may have mentioned that in Holyoke, Massachusetts, they had a large coal plant, and that has been transitioned to a large solar system with battery backup. So it doesn't generate nearly as much electricity, but it generates it cleanly. And those same workers went from, being part of a climate change problem to being part of a climate change solution. So I think, I know for sure, I've spoken to Todd Diorio, that they see the handwriting on the wall. I think their concern is for their current workers, and that's a justifiable concern, but we're in the middle of a global climate crisis, and that's why workforce development and just transition are so critical at this time. And they're not ignoring that. It's very definitely in their planning. I don't know the degree, I'm trying to actually find out the degree to which that training is actually taking place, but anyway, I don't want to, I'm just trying to fill you in on what I know about this, and I am in communication with the laborers union. They remain in favor, and I don't doubt that there will be pressure, but I think that the resolution itself addresses all the questions that I've heard in 2 years of working on this. So that's kind of where we stand at this point. Do we have any other questions? All right, go ahead, Al.
At this point, after reading, the changes that she made through it, I guess I can move forward to make a motion that we accept her amendments, accept the motion amendments to it, and then as far as postponing it to another time, if necessary, that would be a separate motion, correct?
Perfect. I really...
I'll make that motion that we accept her amendments.
Have a second?
I'll second that.
All right. On the amendments. All
aye.
In favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, the amendments that are redlined in the version that we're looking at for resolution number 94 have been accepted. And Fawn, does that mean that we can have a clean version up on the internet by the next meeting. All right, and then Tracy, can you just say you want to postpone, or does the committee need to make a resolution to table it?
I think the committee needs to, not to table, but to postpone to the next meeting, would make a resolution to postpone to the next meeting with my consent.
Thank you.
That's the appropriate way. And thank you all for your feedback and support.
Thank you for holding that. With the consent of the author, we postpone this until our next meeting.
And I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very
Anyone
much.
Opposed? Okay, great. Thank you. All right. And now we're on to, and Adam, thank you for your patience. On to resolution number 131, authorizing the chair of the legislature to enter into an agreement with the Ulster County Soil and Water Conservation District for the 2020 appropriations. And I know you sent some very good documentation. I guess we should move for purposes of discussion and then hear.
I'll move this for discussion.
I'll second it.
Okay. And Adam, you're on if you want to. Well, let me ask if people have any specific questions.
I just wanted to say that I appreciate you going back and clarifying, you know, beefing it up so that it just answered what we were asking. So thank you for doing that. And if you want to just sort of give us the rundown, that would be great.
You want to give us a quick summary? Oh, wait, we have a...
Yeah.
Do we have a...
We lost thank you for the blinking.
Okay, go ahead.
Still here? Of course, when it's game time, the technology fails. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So what I did was go back, and I think the letter probably it's pretty self-explanatory, or the memo that I attached with it, that this is a document that's been intended for our New York State Committee, but it's ultimately an annual plan of work, so it doesn't like change whoever the reader is. The only question I really had for the committee is it too much information? Would you prefer a distilled version? If not, what I recommend, as is in the letter, would probably be to have a memo that kind of summarizes and distills it down to a couple of pages as opposed to the 20-some pages. And then the only other thing that I would add is that document, the annual plan of work, was created by my predecessor. I'll probably be updating it just based on the usability of it. I think I can make some improvements to make it a little bit more accessible. I would probably do that going forward regardless of how the committee chooses to proceed in terms of what documentation you'd like, but it should be a good summary of the work that we intend to do under the annual plan of work. So,
from my perspective, I don't want to make more work for you. If you need to create a summary for other purposes, we'd love to see it. And when you do an update, we'd really appreciate seeing that as well. But I think right now everybody is pulled in so many different directions that I'd be reluctant to make more work since you were so responsive to our report.
I appreciate that.
I think you're the short version that I saw that you had given us. I think that covered a lot of the questions that we had before. And,
yeah.
Without all the legal language that we didn't need. I think you did a great job. Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Okay, so we've had our discussion, and it was moved for purposes of discussion, but we can just now go right to a vote on resolution number 131. If there are no other questions for Adam or amongst ourselves. Okay, all in favor of resolution number 131, please indicate.
Aye.
And is anyone opposed? The resolution carries. And Thank you. Thank you, Adam. And Fawn, if you would be so kind as to switch back to the rest of the agenda and scroll down a little bit. Oh, that's it. That's fine. And that's any new business?
I got a question. I guess this would come under new business, given the situation that we're all in with COVID-19. Maybe a sore subject on the bag ban, so to speak. I'm not sure whether this has to be put in the form of a resolution to move forward, but I know some of the local grocery stores are they're not using the bags because of the potential contamination for reusable bags. And I get that. I understand that. If you do want to bring your own bag and you have to pack your own groceries, I mean, that's where it is up in Sargent's, and I think Hannaford does it as well in Kingston. That being said, do we want to possibly consider it, for nothing else, removing the 5-cent charge if they bag it in paper? Just a question.
Because I was at Hannaford, they're giving out the bags free, plastic and paper. And they will not let you use your own bag, even if you're bagging. So
that's different. Yeah, Price Shop will let you bag your own if it was that way. If you bought your own.
I think I also saw Legislator Bartel's hand, and then I'll be next on the stack.
Thank you. My understanding is that the governor has essentially suspended all aspects of the bag ban. So stores at this moment are free to provide without the fee. Some are there's a whole wide range of what stores are doing. I was in Adams and they were still crediting 5 cents for the bag that I brought, but right now we're preempted on everything, and the state says that the law is suspended temporarily because of the COVID situation.
My question wasn't to suspend the law that we have as we know it from the county, but possibly amend it. The biggest gripe that I've heard from people is that 5 cents.
the matter of fact is that the state has suspended.
Right.
Now it's a state law, and so the state suspended, so they don't have to, the 5 cents.
So going forward, we don't need to address that?
It seems that we will eventually have to address the 5 cents, but that'll be out once we get out the other side of this whole COVID thing. Right now, the authority for the law lies with the state, and the state has said that the whole law is suspended. So your stores in your community don't have to charge the 5 cents at the moment. Yeah, so and there's going to be no enforcement on it until we come out the other side of this and the law is put back in place. At which point we will have to talk about some aspects of it.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the info.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. For old business, a very similar issue that came up in the Climate Smart Committee and was raised by Deputy County Executive Evelyn Wright, and I asked Attorney Gordon to look into Local Law Number 5, the solid waste, food waste law, that diversion that we passed is scheduled to go into effect for the large generators, many of whom are already managing it, and some of whom are managing on site, and others managing with haulers and composting facilities. But for the new ones, that is scheduled to go into effect July 1st. And they were wondering whether we needed a new law or whether the county executive could use the existing waivers and exemptions. And if I understand correctly, and I believe I saw that Dave Gordon was on the line, but it's probably not advisable to use very focused waivers or exemptions that have, you know, very, we went round and round on that and came up with what we felt was necessary. But there are other options regarding enforcement. The county executive could defer enforcement, or I believe issue some form of an executive order because of the emergency, or we could actually pass a law that amends, essentially an amendment that defers that to September or October. Very hard to know how this is going to play out. And remember, there are only, I think in that category, 26 facilities, and probably at least a quarter of them are already participating. But I just wanted to get the sense of the committee how we might want to address that. And before we do, I just want to ask Dave Gordon if I created a correct context from a legal perspective.
He's turned into a microwave.
Ding.
Yeah, I'm just stumbling. I just want to let you, Manic, can you hear me? This is Evelyn. I just wanted to let you know that I'm on the line. I didn't have the Zoom link, but I'm on the phone.
Evelyn, from your perspective, did I outline that? Did I say that in a way that
yeah, absolutely. And I think if it's the preference that we just defer enforcement, we certainly can do that and keep this a lightweight measure. I think we can certainly do that. You know, Amanda and her team have been really the leaders of implementing the Project Resilience effort. So they are, you know, 95% at capacity running that program right now, including Michelle. So, and I'm sure that the businesses also don't have the bandwidth to think about developing new, the ones that aren't composting already probably don't have the bandwidth right now. So, you know, we're happy to do this however you want to handle it.
Essentially, they've been redeployed.
And they are doing a fantastic job. I mean, they are just about the best logisticians we have on the county staff, and they've been doing an incredible job.
Yes, please, Tracy, and then it's hard to see everybody's hands, but go ahead, Tracy.
Thank you. You know, I mean, I'm open to the discussion. It may not be something, it's probably not going to be something we solve here right now, but I'll tell you, my instinct is that we amend the law to push everything out to later dates. I think that deferring, you know, allowing the law to begin, but just not enforcing creates a kind of a confusing situation. The previous administration had us do that with plastic bags, and we lived that beginning where people were like, well, I don't really have to do it because there's going to be no enforcement. And I don't love the idea of having a law on the books that's a law, but everyone agrees it's a law, but you don't really have to follow it because you're not going to be punished if you don't. So, I mean, I think that given these extraordinary times, it would just be cleaner if we could come to a sense of what dates and push all of them out, because there are several dates that, like, the first one hits first, but then it gets to the next layer of businesses in the next layer. So I personally think that would be the cleanest and least complicated. And in these times, not only do our people not have the bandwidth for enforcement, but as Evelyn just said, the businesses, it's one more thing. I mean, some of the biggest businesses aren't even technically operating. The schools, SUNY New Paltz is shut. So I think it'll be a better it'll be a better rollout. It'll be more understanding and more embracing of it if we acknowledge the extraordinary situation we're in and we push it out a little bit.
And I did look at the calendar, and it seems to me that if we decide to go that route, in May we could set a public hearing in June, and then we'd have to vote on it in July, and it's supposed to roll out in July. In other words, if we're setting a public hearing, it's going to be pretty tight. When I did the calculations before, it looked like we could be ready in time for July, but...
Amanda, if I can just jump in, we could. I mean, we don't normally have a public hearing on a caucus day and then vote on session day, but for something like this where... You know, the public would be understanding of why we're doing this. And if we got any crazy feedback on caucus day, we could delay the vote. But again, I think this is just, these are extraordinary times.
So hold the public hearing in June. If we were to pass a resolution in May, we would set the date for the caucus in June, and then vote on it at the session in June in time for it to take effect in July. How do other folks feel about that?
I think that makes sense.
Okay, we just made a little more work for our staff and our attorney, our attorneys, but I think the hard part, you know, the whereases are going to be very obvious, and the resolved is going to be obvious. I think the hard part is to put on a crystal ball and find an appropriate date. So why don't we all give that some thought? And
we're not in a rush for this, are we?
Well.
Dave's going yes.
Yeah, we have to do this so that it aligns with the July, what was to be the July enforcement date. So we have to make this all now jive to move it forward. Correct, David?
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And we can even see you.
How much do you want to? We should probably plan on doing something by July 1st, but I would just point out that the only thing we can do in the legislature is a local law amending the code, but the county executive does have some tools to bridge us over. In other words, if we were to take, just for this argument, until August to get everything we want to do straight, whatever that might be, the county executive on an emergency basis could either just say, I know Tracy said that she didn't want to do this, but I mean, if it happened for a week or two, that might be, you know, more acceptable than if it was generalized. Or he could do it under the, you know, he's got a state of emergency, and that gives him powers to suspend local laws. So he could do that kind of as a bridge if he chose to do it for a couple of weeks, which would give us a little bit more time to let things settle. The structure is hard because what we're going to want to do is we're going to want to amend the effective date, but the date by, because the law is effective now, but the date by which the biggest producers would have to begin separating the food. And I mean, I don't know how we sit down and do that, to be perfectly honest with you. That's going to be more your problem than mine. So there may be, all I'm saying is there's tools in our box if we want to give ourselves another month to bring all the heads together to figure it out. The county executive can, you know, he can take certain actions on his part to temporarily tide it over. And I'm wondering whether Legislator Bartels would have the same objection to kind of a band-aid approach to that rather than being the main approach.
I mean, I don't have the same objection, but I think we should attempt to figure out in conversation with the executive's office and just in whatever best forecasting, as Manna said, we can try to think of what makes the most sense in terms of pushing it back, because we don't know when this is all going to end. But I think that we could. I think that we can. I think we can pretty ably adjust it ourselves without needing the Band-Aid. But you're right. The Band-Aid possibility is there. Also, as you say, the executive could issue an executive order, just as the executive of the state issued the executive order lifting the plastic bag legislation. I mean, he could do the same thing, but you know, I think we have the time to make the change, and that's why I think we should, rather than just sort of relying or pushing it back to the executive. And I appreciate, Evelyn, the willingness to work with us and take whatever tact we want to take. But I think also we want to work with you and find my perspective, as I'd like to, you know, work with you and for us to find the best, most sensible date, so that we're thinking about, you know, our administration in terms of enforcing, but we're thinking about our businesses in terms of implementing. Again, this is, you know, I'm very much committed to the legislation. I think it's an extraordinary piece of legislation, and Ulster County is, we're leading on this issue. So I don't want to take a step back, but I think a delay makes sense.
This is Evelyn. That all makes sense, Tracy, and I think you're absolutely right that changing the law, if it's feasible, gives people the certainty and also can answer the questions about how the rest of the schedule gets pushed out as a result, which would be really helpful to create that certainty.
I am wondering if it makes sense just to think about, because the staff is going to have to, you know, put something together, that we move everything forward by 6 months, which would mean that the implementation for this year's law that is in effect and would stay in effect, the enforcement not start until January of next year, so that gives another 6 months. And every subsequent cohort have the benefit of going into effect when it is currently scheduled, but to defer the enforcement for 6 months down the road. So that way, it's both generous in terms of time and also the minimum change in the existing law. So that's my idea, and I would ask that others, you know, think about that. And maybe Evelyn, if you could take that back to the executive branch staff. And also, if there is any specific input from Dr. Smith or from the county attorney, but, you know, I think by the end of the year, we will really know what's going on. And if we defer in the law, we defer the enforcement for another 6 months and give everyone else that deferment, I think we'd be on safe ground and also be able to present clarity and do what the legislature's role is, you know, creating policy, and we have the Band-Aid available. So that would be my suggestion, just to make it concrete. All right. I mentioned about the Solid Waste Planning Commission. And I think what I'd like to do, Laura, is possibly hold a joint meeting, a meeting about with a webinar or a video conference with the people that are working on the Solid Waste Plan, the Solid Waste Action Plan, and the Solid Waste Planning Commission, because in my mind, having a completed, accepted document that is collaboratively created is essential for the passing of the solid waste management plan, because I don't believe that plan is complete is comprehensive enough in terms of waste diversion. And there is language in that plan that says to reduce waste, to approach zero waste, and we have a zero waste policy. So I would like us to weave all those efforts together. And that's what I'm gonna propose. We don't have any dates, but maybe we could coordinate with your recycling oversight committee and the agency and see if we could have a joint meeting to get that on track. Any comments on that?
I mean, that is a great idea. The more input and the more hands we have working on it, the better the document is. And I agree with you. The way this solid waste management plan is written now, I would not be voting in favor of it. Not unless there's been substantial changes.
And they don't have to be in that document. They can be as a plan that you refer to in the document, and it is already in there. There are other concerns I have about the solid waste management plan, and Fawn will remember the recommendations from the Solid Waste Planning Commission to the agency, and I'd be surprised if they were taken. I tend to go to agency board meetings, and they were being considered by email last I knew. And I did see the comments from Cornerstone and did not agree with them. So we'll have to see how this process plays out. And those are different. They're in addition to the need for a very concrete plan for waste diversion. Just trying to think if there is anything else from the Climate Smart Committee. There was
quarantine has reduced our carbon footprint significantly. I had a chat with Evelyn Wright, who said a friend of hers in India, if I'm not misspeaking, said he's seen blue skies for the first time in years. So is there a silver lining?
There are pictures of the Los Angeles skyline and all over the world. In a sense, this tragedy has forced us to do what we thought we couldn't do in many ways. More people are going to be planting victory gardens, and there's a whole shift in mindset, and I think hopefully in crisis is opportunity. But you're absolutely right that the amount of transportation and the emphasis on local self-reliance are really, it's a hard lesson to learn, but I think one we're experiencing. And so I think the challenge which the county executive has articulated is how to come out of this with a locally resilient economy. And, that's, I know that legislator Archer is thinking about that, and many of us are as well. So I would have to go back and look at the Climate Smart notes. I am not as prepared as I should be for that. But if I find anything that I missed, I do think the one thing in our
goals is to address regenerative agriculture, to keep our farms in the region and those farms in Ulster County strong. Didi Barrett has a pilot in Northern Dutchess and Columbia County, where the farmers are getting a tax rebate for using regenerative agriculture practices, which sequester carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases. And so that's definitely on our agenda. Peter, do you have any recollection?
The one thing that we did talk about was the continued efforts with the Ulster County Fairgrounds, and we want to make sure that that continues to move along, even though things are, we don't even know, you know, where the state of the fair is at this point. But there was a lot of really good energy around the ideas of working closely with that team. So we're going to, you know, there was conversations about continuing that work.
And Tracy, if there is a meeting scheduled, if that can be on the agenda and one or two of us could be included, either that or we can at least
Tracy is going
ask them. Oh, okay. But we want to ask them to set up a meeting with those people on the Climate Smart Committee. Well, it's broader than that, but attend the Climate Smart Committee, who have some really good ideas about how we can do public recycling and other forms of waste reduction at that, and composting with the Ulster County Fair. So with that...
And education. Make sure that's...
And education, absolutely. I think I told you guys the story of how people would go by our compost display, which at the Ulster County Fair was pretty amazing because we could use manure-stained animal bedding as an inoculant. And we would layer the food and the leaves and then a little animal bedding, and they would be hot, steamy cooking compost piles in 2 or 3 days. So, and then people would, as they went by the demonstration, they'd go, "Oh, honey, you think we should use the chicken wire or the concrete blocks?" You know, and you could see they were going from meaning to do backyard composting to actually implementing it. And it was just a wonderful experience and so forth. So we will, you know, just take some time, have a meeting. But right now we have to give everybody a chance to get through this pandemic and hopefully everybody here and all our friends and family remain in good health, stay safe, and practice good hygiene practices to protect yourself. Any other business before I call for a motion to adjourn? Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
And thank you all very much.